What's up, everybody, and welcome to another One of Us mini pod. I'm Roxy Roller, and these are for me to take an opportunity to talk about some things to do with content creation, streaming, community building, that I see conversations in either the community or, you know, the general content creation community as a whole. And I want to take a minute to talk about and give my thoughts and put my opinions out there. So obviously, the thoughts on this episode are my own, so take them with a grain of salt. Obviously, I'm not, you know, in a position where, you know, I'm streaming to tens of thousands of viewers, or, you know, I may not be doing this full-time professionally, but I definitely have some opinions, and that's what this will be about. So I wanted to have one today to talk about the elephant in the room, monetization. So there's been a lot of conversation about monetization, especially today with Twitch's announcement of sub-only streams. The idea that you could have a stream that is only viewable by your subscribers, your mods, your VIPs, things like that. So to do that, I wanted to give people a little bit of general information about, you know, monetization, like how to monetize your content, types of monetization, when you should monetize your content, styles of how people promote their monetization, and how to create value. And these are really important because obviously, you know, as streamers, we like to support our hobby, and not all of us can afford to buy all the games and all the systems and all the equipment that goes along with streaming. And a lot of times it's due to our community's backing that we're able to keep doing what we do and keep providing, you know, entertainment, hopefully, and content to our viewers. So As we look at this, let's start out with the basics. How would you monetize your content? Like, what are the ways of monetizing? Obviously, the most popular one is donations, and that would be, you know, through Streamlabs or any of the other similar sites that allow users to donate via PayPal. And they can just click on your link. They can put a donation. Typically, people put a nice little alert up so that when someone donates, they can make a big deal about it. But it's pretty much just a transfer of money from their PayPal account to yours, or from a credit card to your PayPal account. It's the simplest form of monetization, partially because it's available to you immediately. You don't need to have any sort of follower accounts, any sort of following. Obviously, you're going to get more donations if you have those things first. But, I mean, even just starting a stream, you could, in theory, put a donation link in your page, and people will be able to donate money to you. The downside of donations is that if anybody ever charged back their donation, so they call their bank and they say, hey, this was a fraudulent charge, the bank will come back at you, and you don't have any protections. You'll have to fight that on your own in a legal battle, and or pay fees of typically, you know, $20 to $30 per transaction. Another option that some people have employed, this happens especially like in the YouTube space, or like a lot of times with IRL streamers on Twitch, but it's Patreon. And Patreon is a place that people can set up campaigns to raise money for their content or their small business, whatever you want to call it. What Patreon does, it lets you put a little video and an explanation of what you do, what you're creating, how you're providing value. And your viewers or your community can subscribe to your Patreon. This is especially popular with things such as podcasts, like what we have, where it's not always the easiest to monetize. Like, obviously, you guys heard an ad before this. That's the choice that we've gone with to monetize this podcast. So we get a small payment for every person that listens to that ad. But other podcasts will use a Patreon, and people can subscribe for, you know, $1, $5, $10 every month, and that goes to support, you know, the costs that go into production and commissioning and hosting, because obviously all the audio files need to be hosted somewhere. But it's an option that, you know, gives consistent revenue stream. So, you know, your subscribers will you know, sign up for a monthly fee and they'll donate monthly. Obviously, the downside of this is it requires a little bit more setup, and it requires you to push people away from the platform. because they'll have to go to Patreon to donate the money. And then obviously the money does not support the platform that you're creating content on. So for example, if you're on Mixer, Mixer doesn't get any, you know, doesn't make any money off of that. It's not supporting the platform if that's something you care about. The third type of monetization is subbing. It's probably the one that we're most familiar with. Everybody's kind of most akin to if you're in the content creation space. And this usually means that, you know, you can pay $5 or $6 depending on which platform you're on to subscribe to a streamer. Within the platform, this usually gets you a badge in their chat to let people know that you're a subscriber. And it usually gets you some emotes that you can use in chat or across the platform. This does, you know, give a kickback to the platform, so it supports the platform. And then on the streamer side, they get the chargeback protection of not having to worry about, you know, a sub being charged back as a fraudulent charge. And additionally, it makes it a repeat charge, right? So if you continue to enjoy this person's content, every month you'll have $5 taken out, $6 taken out, and that'll go to the streamer and help support them. The downside of subbing is you have to be partnered typically to do it, at least on Mixer. On Twitch, you can get a sub button at affiliate status, which I believe is like 100 followers, 3 concurrent viewers, and like 12 unique days streamed. Very low requirements to get a sub button, but it's, you know, it's a way for people to monetize content very early, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. And then the final version that we're going to cover here is platform donations. So this would be things like Embers, Sparks, Bits, so on and so forth, Stars on Facebook. And what this is a currency that you buy from the platform you're watching on. So for example, you buy Bits from Twitch, you earn Sparks from watching Mixer, or you purchase the Embers from Mixer, and then you donate to those to the streamer. The streamer gets a certain percentage of that, and then obviously the platform takes their cut from your purchase versus what they pay the creator. The upside of this is it stays within the platform. You don't have to push your viewers away from your stream to go donate or to monetize anything. And it supports the platform that you're creating content on. The downside of these is typically, again, on Mixer, you have to be partnered to use them unless you're in the Embers for All program. On Twitch, obviously, the affiliate status, as we mentioned before. And Facebook, you can actually monetize with Stars quite early. I think it's right around like 100 followers on Facebook. So those are the four main ways that you would monetize your content, and ways that you would make money off of your stream, off your YouTube videos. I'm not 100% sure on YouTube monetization, so don't quote me on that. So this is obviously focusing more on the live streaming space. So the next piece we got to understand is, when do we want to monetize our content? This is the place that I see people slip up on the most. And I can tell you from past experiences, I've done this. I'm guilty of it. You know, I took a affiliate on Twitch when I had about 100 followers. And looking back at it now, looking at the quality of content that I was creating back then, I'm kind of ashamed that I asked people to pay for that. And that people actually did. And I understand a lot of it was, you know, friends of mine or people that enjoyed hanging out with me. They were supporting what I was doing more so than the actual content that I was creating. But you really want to understand like what type of content that you're creating and make sure that you're creating content that people should be paying for. So that could be, you know, simple things like, you know, chat interaction, quality of your stream. You know, make sure your stream is clear, not skipping. You know, I always say audio is very important to me, obviously, because, you know, I run a podcast. I'm very focused on my stream audio. That's a big piece in what helps me decide whether I want to sub to a streamer or donate or, you know, whatever I need to do to support them, is if they've taken the time to notice those types of details. And so that's going to be different for everybody else. Like, what makes somebody want to support you and give you money is going to vary from viewer to viewer. So it's important to understand what your community and your viewers are looking for in your content and make sure that you're creating that type of content before you start monetizing. Otherwise, it really does look like you're just going after the money. If, you know, you've got one follower, you've streamed 3 times, but you've got your donate link plastered all over, and you're telling people to hit that dono button. So step one is obviously creating content that people will pay for. But I think step two is understanding the direction of your channel. So I think as we mature as content creators and broadcasters, our content changes and shifts with, you know, our moods, with the trends of the gaming industry, with the trends of the streaming industry. But overall, you should understand, you know, am I a Fortnite streamer? Am I a BR streamer? Do I like to play a variety of things? Is my stream even about the gameplay? Am I just a storyteller? Am I literally just there to talk to chat? And once you understand that, then you'll start to build viewers and you'll start to build communities around the type of content that you enjoy creating. And then you'll also understand what those viewers value as far as what they're willing to pay for, what they would like to pay for. But at the end of the day, the important part is to make sure that you understand what you enjoy about streaming, what you enjoy about content creation, and what makes you passionate. Because if you're just chasing a dollar, you know, by playing games that you hate or doing things that you hate on stream, you're going to get burned out really quickly, and you're going to lose the passion for streaming. You're going to lose the passion for making content. And that's, you know, that's very counterproductive. So obviously create content that you think people should pay for, and then understand the direction of your channel and what makes you passionate about content creation and chase those. You know, we make jokes or we talk about, you know, the thirst out there of people begging for donos and begging for sparks and subs and embers and stuff like that. And as much as it's kind of joking, it's true. Like there is something off-putting about somebody that spends their entire stream, you know, begging for money. I don't think, and this, again, this goes back to what I said before, like this is my personal opinion. I don't think that you should be asking for subs, asking for money. It should come naturally. Like people should support you because they enjoy what you're doing and they feel like they want to spend money to support you, not because you have a dono goal to pay your bills for the month, or you have a dono goal to buy a new car. It should be, you know, people come in, they enjoy your stream, they find some appreciation out of what you're providing, whether you are helping them to get out of their own IRL problems and escape for a little bit, or you're making them laugh, or, you know, you're a really good gamer. You know, they should want to support that, and not just because you're asking for it and begging for it. So this kind of leads into styles of promoting monetization. Throughout the years of, you know, streaming growing as an industry, obviously it's been kind of like the Wild West. There's no surefire formula. There's no really rules for how to be a streamer, how to create content. It's kind of been left up to the devices of the people creating the content and the people doing the streaming. So a couple of like popular methods of promoting monetization have come up. One of the big ones I see a lot is goals. And that's built into Streamlabs. So you could put a goal of, hey, I need $500 to build a PC. This is the one I see all the time. Hey, I need $500 to build a PC. They have a goal, and, you know, as that bar fills up, they get closer and closer to building their PC. Whether they actually end up building that PC when they fill the goal is a different question. But it helps viewers know, or at least think they know, where their money is going. And if they deem that that's something that they want to support. I've seen things for, you know, fix my car, or pay my bills, or buy this game, or send me to TwitchCon, send me to PAX East, you know, all those types of goals. You know, if you know, the when we talk about like the trips like TwitchCon and PAX East, your viewers might want to pay for that because they might want to meet you at that convention. So if they know they're going to that convention, they want to see you there, they're going to try and help you get there. The other one is incentives. And this one kind of becomes a gray area that we'll talk about a little bit later when we talk about value proposition. But a lot of times people will say, hey, you know, I play with subs only on Sundays. So if you want to play with them on Sunday, then you better be a subscriber. Or I've got a, you know, a private Discord channel for subs. Things like that that give incentives on top of the emotes and the sub badge that they get on the platform. What else are your subs going to get from you? Or what else are people going to get for donating or for being a Patreon, or for giving you embers? You know, one creative way that that I employed a while back was I found there was a new system called Stream Loots. And essentially what it was like a card game. And viewers could buy chests that were essentially like card packs. They'd open cards, and each card would have a different effect. It could be anything from, you know, playing a sound clip or a GIF on stream, all the way up to making me, like, eat a bottle of what's called Ass Blaster hot sauce. But they were weighted, you know, as like, loot. So the ultra-rare ones were ultra-rare. And the things like GIFs and sound effects and things like that were a little bit more common. But it created interaction, and it created incentives for people other than just giving me a donation through Streamlabs that just gets a message up on the screen. Like, they were able to spend that money and interact with the chat through what they were purchasing on Streamloots. And with my community and my viewers being based around mainly looter games such as Destiny and Division and Diablo, it kind of ticked the mindset of the people that like to watch the games that I play. And it did really well. It kind of fell off because I moved into the Embers for All program. And then obviously, generally, monetization isn't my focus. But it was a really fun activity, a really fun system that we put in for a while. But those types of incentives, like, what do people get when they give you your money other than just a, hey, thanks on stream? Those are the types of creative solutions that you need to come up with to set your channel apart, you know, because you're competing with every other streamer on your platform. Why should somebody give you their $5 as opposed to XXX420 no-scopes down the street? So incentives are important. Goals can be a good way to promote. And then there's passive promotion. And passive promotion is kind of more of the method that I employ, the method that I think a lot of, a lot of, like, the bigger streamers, I think, employ. And that is, like I said before, just creating good content and letting people decide to monetize. And what this entails is just playing with people, you know, being funny, being really good at games, providing really good commentary, maybe providing outside content on, you know, YouTube, Instagram, you know, podcasts, things like that. And not necessarily directly saying, hey, sub to me, or hey, donate to me, or, you know, this and that. But instead letting the monetization come out of pure support instead of out of asking, begging, things like that. So the last piece that we got to kind of discuss before we get into just general thoughts is how to create value. This is something that I think hasn't really made it into the streaming communities enough yet, but is a big sort of piece in business, especially in manufacturing when you're dealing with customers, is how do you create the value proposition? So you're asking somebody to spend their money. What do they get out of it? Typically, if people feel like they're getting a good value for their money, they'll spend their money. If they don't feel like they're getting a good value, then they're going to be more weary to spend their money. So as streamers, since our content is what people are really taking in, and we provide the majority of our content for free, how do we provide value for people that are willing to spend money and support us in a financial manner? So there's many different ways to do that. Like I said before, obviously you could have sub days. You could have, you know, different types of giveaways for subs. You could have, you know, special recognition either like on your stream or, you know, it's like a pre-roll or a post-roll at the beginning or end of your stream. You could have, you know, special sub events. Like, I've seen people do community events with their subs where they'll pull all their subs in and they'll all play, you know, some silly fun party game or something like that. But you're creating a value proposition because they're saying, hey, okay, if I pay for this, I get this form of entertainment in addition to what I'm already receiving. And that kind of leads into understanding paywalling, and I think what I want to talk about Twitch's introduction of substreams. So paywalling, I think we're all familiar with in the form of microtransactions in video games, is taking content and putting it behind an additional price, right? So somebody, they cut off the end of the game and you've got to pay $20 for a DLC to get the rest of it. The same thing can happen in content creation. For example, you know, if you're a streamer and you've built up a channel around, you know, open lobbies and playing with viewers and things like that, and then all of a sudden, you know, you get partnered and you get a sub button and now you only play with subs, you're removing content. Like, you're removing value from people and then forcing them to pay for it. And that's typically going to turn a lot of people off. And the same thing can go as far as, like, you know, adding a Patreon or donations or whatever before you get into subscriber and platform donation territory, is that you need to look at, if you're monetizing something, what additional content, what additional value are you going to provide to somebody? You know, a good example could be, yeah, I play with everybody every day, but maybe on Sundays I play with just subs, because that way it gives them like a better chance to win the raffle to play with me, or it's a shorter queue or something like that. Now your subs say, okay, well, I still get the content that I want because he's playing with, you know, they're playing with viewers every day. But if, you know, if I want to pay $5 or $6 on Sundays, you know, I can get a better chance to play with him or play with them, or maybe it's a shorter queue, so I can play a couple games with them, something like that. Or, you know, there's other ways to provide value. You know, I've played with the idea before of having like a special kind of side podcast that would be kind of for supporters of the podcast. So you support the podcast with like your $5 sub, and then all of a sudden there's an extra podcast in your feed once a month. That would just be something completely different. You know, obviously it wouldn't be an interview with a community member or even one of these mini pods that we're providing for free now. It would be, you know, something additional. So increasing the value and making them pay. And that kind of leads to the discussion about Twitch's introduction of substreams. So today, Twitch introduced that they're now allowing partners and affiliates that don't have a terms of service violation in the last 90 days the ability to start substreams. What this would be is you would go live just like you normally do, but you would check a different box when you do go live. And only your subs, your mods, and people that you've marked as VIPs would be able to view your stream. Everybody else would get a short kind of introduction preview. But in order to watch the stream, you would have to subscribe. And there's been a lot of backlash from people. There's been a lot of people saying this is a bad thing. And there's been a lot of negative press, but there's also been some positive opinions on it as well. My opinion on this is that the quality or lack of quality of a tool like this comes down to the streamers and how they use it. Good streamers will find very creative ways to incentivize subscriptions through the use of substreams. For example, if you wanted to do a special Q&A with your subs to understand what your subs specifically are looking for, you could do a substream. You know, for someone, you know, like if I were in a position to do something like that, you know, it could be the podcast that releases on Monday, but you can listen to it get recorded live on Friday if you're a sub. You know, that would be a substream. We would record live. People that are sub to the podcast or sub to the channel would be able to listen live. But the content that you normally get, the Monday afternoon drop into your podcast feed, would be free, right? Now, the flip side of that is there's going to be a lot of thirsty streamers that are going to use substreams for everything. So if they're doing sub games, they'll make it a substream so that only their subs can watch. Or they might just make it sub only so that, like, IRL streamers, they might just make it sub only so that people can't take, you know, free content from, you know, they can't access their content for free. They have to pay to get what they're providing. While that may work for some people in some communities, for the vast majority of people, that's going to turn a lot of viewers off. It's going to fracture a community instead of build a community. And as we've said before on previous podcasts, the goal as a content creator, the goal as a streamer is to create a community. You know, similar to what we've done here with the One of Us Discord is, you know, we've built a community of amazing people that like to play games, that like to stream, that like to watch streams. And through that, we're able to support each other. We're able to grow together. We're able to find some really unique and strong friendships that you can't create if you have this fractured community. Now, I don't think that a sub stream or that type of paywalling of content will help anybody grow a stream. Like, if you're a small streamer that I just want to check out because you're at the bottom of the Destiny directory, and I click on it and it's a sub stream, I mean, I'm not going to sub just to find out that I don't like your content. So this definitely really more targets brands that have been established, larger channels. It's definitely not a tool for growing channels, I don't think. Maybe somebody will find an intelligent way to employ it and help to grow a channel or help to grow their community. But I see this more as some people that already have established communities that want to further incentivize their subs. But at the end of the day, the key to creating value is creating a brand and building a community that people want to be a part of. Like if you've built this community that people want to join, right? I mean, look at the One of Us Discord, right? We've got people that join this every day, and people that find that there's plenty of friends to talk to. There's helpful things like the streaming help. You can get on and promote your own content. You can look for groups. You can post your hobbies. All of that stuff is value, because I think as viewers of content and as, you know, internet bound people, you know, we're looking for friends on the internet. We're looking for a place where we feel like we can belong. And a community does just that. And generally, if you're able to create this community, create this atmosphere that people want to be a part of, they're going to be more willing to be able to support you monetarily because they're spending the majority of their time there. It's very easy for somebody to justify spending $5 on a content creator when they spend, you know, 10 hours watching their stream every week, and then they spend another 15 hours a week in their Discord, you know, chatting with them and hanging out and talking. And that's the big piece is understanding how you can create value for your viewers. How you can create value and make people want to support you. So there's a lot of good methods out there. There's a lot of bad methods out there. And I think after listening to this and we talk through it a little bit, you'll start to recognize some of these a little bit more. Like, you'll see some people that have very creative incentive, very creative value propositions for their monetization. And you'll say, wow, you know, that's pretty slick. And maybe you want to grab that. Maybe you want to employ something similar to that in your own channel. And you'll also, maybe you'll hear the way that I talked about, you know, certain incentives, and you're like, man, you know, that I don't really want my channel going in that direction. And you'll be a little bit more creative. You know, like, goals can come across as begging depending on what you're setting the goal for. But you can get creative with it and incentivize hitting the goal, right? So if we hit this goal, I'm going to buy, you know, this game and play it with you. Or I'm gonna grab Outlast and I'm going to play a scary-ass game on stream. And then your viewers realize that, yeah, okay, you're going to take their money and you're going to go build your PC. But they're also going to get some really good content out of watching you pee your pants live on stream. So that'll probably be... I think about it for this mini pod. I think I got everything off of my chest that I wanted to talk about. You know, the big thing is that you have to stream for you. You have to stream because you enjoy streaming. And if your viewers and your community see that you're really enjoying what you're doing and you're having fun, they're going to want to support that. They're going to want to see you continue to have fun. So that's got to be the number one reason that you're doing what you're doing. If you're getting into streaming because you want to put a donate link on and have people give you money, you're doing it for the wrong reasons, and you're not going to get the results that you want. I could tell you right now, if you don't have anybody chatting yet, you know, you're still at the point where you're talking to yourself, and trying to build a consistent viewership, you're probably not going to get a lot of donations, because people aren't going to just come in and just go, oh, hey, this guy has 4 followers, let me give him $100. That's only Mr. Beast that does that. So the primary focus needs to be enjoying what you do, finding what you love to stream, finding the content that you love to create, and building a channel around that. Once you build that and your community starts to form, then your community is going to want to support you so that they can get more of that, more of whatever that shtick is that keeps them coming back, whether it's your humor, whether it's your gameplay, whether it's your intelligent, you know, commentary on the game space, whether it's your stories. You know, if you're a storyteller, people will come to listen to a good story. Excuse me. So focus on your content. Focus on creating good stuff. Focus on enjoying what you do. And trust me, the money will come someday. So that'll be it. If you got any questions about any of this, feel free to DM me in Discord, DM me on Twitter. Both of my DMs should be open. If you want, you can post in the podcast section of the Discord at discord.gg/oneofus. Tag me there, ask questions there. That'll probably get some good conversation going, because I'm sure there's a lot of people in the community that have thoughts and opinions on this. But yeah, so think about everything that went through, and feel free to fire off some questions. Tweet at me, hit me in Discord. You can find me at Mixer, Facebook and Instagram at Roxy Roller, YouTube at Roxy Roller TV, and Twitter at Roxy Roller 1. I typically stream 4 days a week. YouTube's a little slow, but Twitter's usually really good. And stop by sometime and we can talk about this. I'm telling you, Destiny 2 and content creation are the two things that I love to talk about more than anything when I'm on stream. So if you pop in and say, hey, let's talk about this topic of content creation, I'm in. Or if you want to talk about Destiny, I'm in. But yeah, so until next time, I'm Roxy Roller, and this has been a One of Us mini pod.